dwells in the shelter of the Most High will rest in the shadow of the Almighty. I greet you in the name of Jesus Christ today. We're glad that you have chosen to join us today. God's Word is full of timeless truths that are relevant to our lives today.
So I'm sure by now you've noticed, partly because I've said it, and also because of the scripture reading, but tonight we're talking about food. Food's important. Last night at Bible study, some of us were talking about how important it is to gather around the table together and how every culture throughout all the world has gathered together around tables. No matter where you go, there's people that are eating, and eating is important. As I was thinking about food and the importance of eating, I thought back to college. In college, my mom got remarried. And so I ended up going home, and after the semester had ended, I had gone home for the summer, and I would go to my mom's house, and for some reason I was angry, and I couldn't tell why. I like my stepdad, I have no problem with him, he's a great guy, but for some reason I got angry every time I went to my mom's house. And I couldn't figure it out until one day it clicked. Don't even know why I'm all that emotional. So one day it clicked. Every time I had gone over, they had been eating together around the table. My mom, my stepdad, my younger sister, and my step-siblings. And I thought back to high school. In high school, we just grabbed the food off the kitchen counter and we'd go to the living room, or we'd just eat wherever. We didn't spend that intentional time around the table. And I think it was then in college that I realized just how important the table is, how important it is to come together and eat food together. One of the articles I was reading this past week, it talked about just the difference in time that we spend at the table and even preparing meals. I was reading that it used to take an average of 2.5 hours a day preparing food. Now, I don't know if they just meant dinner or if they meant breakfast, lunch, and dinner or how they meant that, but it went from an average of 2.5 hours preparing food to 30 minutes. Part of this is likely the rise of fast food, restaurants, the fact that we don't have to cook. And it also saying that the average length of time that families would spend around the table was roughly 1.5 hours. Today it's roughly 17 minutes. And that's a high estimate. And so we see that food is important. And when we step away from food and when we step away from gathering around the table, something goes on. I was also reading statistics that the rate of crime goes down the longer a family's at the table. They did a study where they were asking different men and women in prison how much time they spent at the table. And those that had spent more time at the table were in for pettier crimes. And maybe that was just an odd study, I don't know, but I think there's something there, that the table causes us to be in relation with each other, to be in family with each other. It calls us to invest in each other because you've got to look at the other person. One of them said last night at Bible study, eating together is important because you're doing something that you've got to do to survive with other people. And so tonight we'll talk about the table a little bit, and we'll talk about food. During this Lenten series, we've used the idea of a mirror and about how it reflects back to us and how it causes us to really look at ourselves. And as I was told about this, I kept thinking of the verse, "Be holy as the Lord your God is holy." That really, the idea of looking into a mirror at ourselves is the idea of examining ourselves, seeing what our blemishes are, what our flaws are, but also seeing who God calls us to be and how we can live into God's holiness. "Be holy as I am holy," God says. And so as I thought about that verse and bringing it back to what I'd be talking about tonight, I thought of, okay, be holy how God is holy. Or some verses say, be merciful as God is merciful. Be perfect as God is perfect. I tend to think that means we are to do as God does. That we are to imitate God. We are to go about and do the things that God would go about and do. One of the things that God does is God feeds us. Our Old Testament passage talked about the manna and the quail that came from heaven. I love that story. It's the Israelites wandering around in the desert and they're lost. They're desperate, they're angry, they're hungry, they're hangry, you know. They're like, "God, just give us food. Come on." And so God gives them food, and I've got to think, man, what a miracle to go from nothing to having bread, and not only just having bread, to then when they're like, "All right, God, we're kind of sick of this bread. I mean, it's manna. Come on." And then God's like, "Fine, have some quail, have some meat." And just this miraculous event of God providing food out of nothing. But then I also think of how that's not the only way that God provides food. In our, on the Lord's Prayer, one of the lines is, "Give us this day our daily bread." And so what does that mean to have daily bread? Well, I thought back to these cultures, and to make bread, it didn't just fall out of the sky, except for when it was manna from heaven. So they had to plant the seeds. They had to harvest. They had to take care of the land. They had to work it. They had to collect it. They had to, whatever they do to make bread, put it all together and then bake it. And then they had bread. Yet that was still God providing. Sometimes it was the big moments, it was the manna moments, the moments where God provided miraculously. And there were other times when it was just the simple, "You have what you need, get to work. You're hungry, eat. You know what to do." So it wasn't always this big ta-da thing with God. It wasn't always miraculous. One of the things that I like to talk about is ordinary is the longest season of the church year. It is over half of the church year. And I think part of the reason for that is because God often works in the ordinary. God provides us with food in the ordinary means. Yes, there are times when it is extraordinary. But for the most part, I think God likes to sit back and say, "This is how things are. Go about it." And so in our gospel lesson, we see the crowds asking, "But Jesus, when did we see you hungry? When did we see you thirsty? When did we see you in need and say, 'Nope,' or 'Okay'?" And he tells them, "What you did unto the least of these, my brothers and sisters, you've done unto me. Or what you did not do unto the least of these, my brothers and sisters, you did not do unto me." As I was thinking about this, I was kind of hit hard. I thought back to a talk I had heard a while ago. There's a theologian named Peter Rollins. And he's kind of he's kind of like me. He's kind of edgy. Doesn't exactly look like a Christian speaker per se. And so he was asked a question one day. A person looked to him and said, "Peter, do you deny the resurrection?" And his answer kind of shook me because I was like, oh, he's a Christian speaker. He's not going to deny the resurrection. The whole point of Christianity is that we affirm the resurrection. And I'm sure you can guess what I'm going to say now based on all that. Peter looked back at the person and said, "Of course I deny the resurrection. Of course I deny the resurrection." To which the crowd was, "What?" And he continued on saying, "Every time I see my brothers or my sisters hungry, I deny the resurrection. Whenever I see someone cold and I do not give them my jacket, I deny the resurrection. Whenever I see the need that God has placed before me and I choose myself over them, I deny the resurrection." He said, "But the hope and the grace of Christianity is that there are times when we affirm the resurrection. When we see our brothers and sisters that are hungry and thirsty and cold, and we give to them, and we take care of them, and we invite them in, and we invite them to become a part of us." He said, "That is when I affirm the resurrection." And that kind of hit me because I thought about that because I'm like, I want to affirm the resurrection. I want to affirm the power of Christ. And then that kind of made me think back to ordinary and extraordinary, and that it's not always this big grand event. I think so many of us, we look at something and we say, "Well, I can't fix this. This is too big for me to handle on my own." So we step back. But I think part of it is helping Christ is giving to the person that we see that's hungry, to getting to know who they are, to learning their story and where they've come from. I think sometimes it's that simple, and I think other times it's that we work to create a system that will feed people. I'm not sure what, and I'm sure you guys can tell me, the organization that End the Growling goes to. Is End the Growling the organization itself?
It's Outreach is the organization. Okay. End the Growling is our particular meal packing event.
Okay. And so part of what I think about this, that's part of the way we feed Christ. When did we see you hungry? Well, you saw me hungry in the community and you came together to package meals. To those of you that are from here at the Cape Church of the Nazarene, you will know that I was one of the co-founders of Team Fatty. It was an intramural sports team in college that did not win a game until after I graduated. That is a record that we were proud to hold. Our slogan was lowering the bar since 2010. And what started out as a joke became something serious because as we ended up becoming the most popular team at ENC, and that was including the legitimate sports teams, we realized that people came to our events, people came to our games, and that we were able to speak into the life of ENC. And so we were at Chipotle one day talking about how can we do something to help our community? What can we do? There's so much hunger surrounding us, and we're so little. And one of the things that I said that would become another one of our catchphrases was, "We don't like being hungry, neither should you." That we wanted to see people not be hungry, so we partnered with Stop Hunger New England, which is very similar to this, where it was, for one quarter you could feed a family. For a dollar, you could feed four families. That's something all of us were able to do, where we were able to feed over 2,000 families in the area because we came together and gave a couple dollars. When did we see you hungry, and when did we feed you? Well, you came together and you put food packets together, and those food packets were marked by the cross, and they were given to those that needed it most. When did we see you hungry? I think in the world we live in today, sometimes we don't see when he's hungry because we don't look. I think organizations like this call us to not be blinded anymore, where it says, just, it's here. And so that's part of why we've gathered together, is to work towards this goal of feeding our community, of feeding those that are hungry, of creating a system that says no one should go hungry. There's something about eating and eating together and having food together with one another. One of my favorite stories in the Bible is, I'm going to embarrass myself now if I don't get it right. I think it's Luke 24, the road to Emmaus, where Jesus is walking along the road with two disciples. And they're talking, and Jesus, who they don't recognize, he's like, "What's going on?" And they're like, "What? Like, how do you not know what's going on? The biggest event in human history has gone on. The one that we said was Lord has been crucified. That's what's going on. Not only has he been crucified, apparently he's no longer in the tomb. Nobody knows what to do. What do you mean, what's going on?" But they didn't recognize him until they sat down together. And Christ broke the bread and he gave it to them. And it says, suddenly their eyes were opened. And they said, "Surely were not our hearts warmed when he was in our presence? Surely that was the Christ." Coming together around the table reveals Christ to us. Those of you that know me know that I think Eucharist is one of the most important things that we can do. I like to think I'm in good company. John Wesley took communion on the average of once every 3 days. And that wasn't just for part of his life. That was his life overall. Which I'm figuring as a baby, he didn't take communion that much. So that means as an adult, as he was old enough, he was taking communion as frequently as he can. One of the things he says is that we should come to the table as often as we come together. And so, unless I'm mistaken, we have come together tonight. And so, in just a little bit, I will lead us in a liturgy of the table, and I will invite us to partake in the meal together, because Christ is found around the table. And not only are we fed at the table, Christ calls us to go out into the streets and to invite others to be fed at the table. That this is just a taste of the banquet that's to come. When did we see you hungry, Lord? Just look around. There's lots that can be done. And there's lots of ways to get involved in feeding. And there's lots of ways for us to go out and declare to the streets, "Come, the table is ready." Would you pray with me real quick? God, thank you for the invitation to the table. Thank you for two very simple things, the bread and the cup. We often overthink how we must do these huge things. How are we supposed to face hunger in our community? And really, it's simple. Come together and feed those around you. Invite those around you to the table. Go out to the community and say, "Hey, I've found bread. Let me show you where it is." God, we thank you to calling us to simple but not always easy work. We thank you for calling us to be your hands and your feet. God, we thank you for all the work that you are doing in and through us, that we might go out into the world to do work in and through the world. God, I pray that you continue to bless our time together. We rejoice in acknowledging that you are here with us and that you are calling us to many things. We pray this in your name. Amen.
The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. Amen. Thank you for joining us for this sermon podcast. We hope that the message has inspired you to draw closer to God each day. More sermons are available online at our website, capenazarene.org. May God bless you abundantly as you serve Him today.